Good evening, everyone. I had a study on faith, and when Norvin asked me to do this, I was like, oh boy, not me. Because, you know, it's something that I actually been thinking about a lot the last month or so. You know, it was really good for me to study this and to look at it. And just looking into my own life, applications that I can apply to my own life. So I'm going to start off in Hebrews 11:6. But before I read that, I was thinking faithfulness in prayer was more what I was thinking about before I was asked to share this, and just I guess getting discouraged with that, because it just you know, sometimes you're wrestling in prayer and you know that you want God's will, and you know that what God's will is in this, it just doesn't seem like it's happening. And so I guess this kind of just strengthened my my feelings about that, and just knowing and that God is faithful, and He is the source of faith in the beginning. So let's read Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So faith is not something that is just a set of beliefs. I know that we would say that, like, our faith, our practice, whatever it is, but it's something more than that. Here in Hebrews 11, we have all these, we have Abraham, we have Noah, Enoch, many more, who they were men of faith, but it was something different. It was more like faith in action is what they were known for. They didn't just believe. They all, God told Abraham, for instance, that he needed to leave and go to a different country. He went. Noah was supposed to build an ark. It had never, ever rained before. He built an ark. These guys, they had absolutely no idea what was going on, what was happening. All they knew is that God was faithful, and they were going to do what God wanted them to do. And so we know that it's not just a personal conviction. Faith can't be just, is not just something in our lives that can be just brought in. You can't, it's a conviction. Convictions cannot be just like pushed into someone. The school will not put convictions onto someone. The church won't do that. You can't force convictions into someone. They have to be worked over and tested. It is only through testing that you can actually have faith. So I was kind of thinking about that. It was like, you know, why is it that some people, you know, in the church, I'm going to mainly say Christians, how is it that some people have more faith than others? Most of us have the same struggles. Most of us have, here in North Idaho, we all know what's going on around the same thing. So we're all going through lots of the same things, different times. And different people of us, we handle these things differently than others. And so my question is where are we putting our faith? I've already, basically, faith, what we put our trust in. Are we putting our trust in God, or are we putting it in something else? And that's basically what faith is. Faith is what we're putting our trust in, and we're going ahead based off that trust. So I listed a couple of things that maybe could be a stumbling block, like in, I'll just put it directly, our church, just so it comes just to each one of us that way. Could it be just doctrine? Is doctrine what we're putting our trust in? Is it our traditions? Is it order of church service? Is it something like that? I don't know. Lots of, or is it the one thing that does matter, Jesus? Lots of things that happen in our life do not, when the time comes of testing, we go and put ourselves in those things. Are all those things good? Yes, traditions. It's something that we can go back to. We can, you know, this is the way stuff worked in the past. Doctrine. We all know that that's important. We have the veiling. The veiling's important. But will it save you? No. Things like that. So people putting the plain dress, the way we the way we do things, our conservative lifestyle, that's not going to save us. But it becomes a contradiction because sometimes we try to use those things as our means of salvation, and when time of testing comes, it falls apart because we don't have the true rock, Jesus Christ, in our life. And I guess that's the part that kind of hit me the last month, is that for when there is testing, when there is when it's time for me to know where I stand in my faith in Jesus Christ, those things, the things that I tried to build my faith around, whether it be money, whether it be just the shield of the church and stuff like that, that stuff kind of wears down eventually, and I have to just say, you know, I need to relook at where my faith is in. I give you an example that in the Bible of Mary Magdalene, I believe it was Mary Magdalene, when she poured the fasticos nardos, spikenard. Basically, fasticos is faith, what you're putting your faith in. This stuff was very expensive. Basically, it was our nowadays 401k. It was a plan. If something went bad, you could always sell it for the price you had in it, if not more. It always had a retaining value. It could heal various, just about anything, any kind of skin diseases, stuff like that. It wasn't just used for it didn't make you just smell good. It was something a whole lot better than that. And she poured that all out on Jesus' feet. She gave that all up to Jesus. And basically pouring the faith that she had before, the stuff that was temporal, onto the feet of Jesus, knowing that he was the true rock, the true faith, the true person that was completely trustworthy all the time. Then we also have other characters in the Bible. We can read about in Hebrews 11:32-38. I'll go there again too. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead and raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. All of these men and women, even in nowadays, this is very true of what's going on over in Syria right now with Christians. They're being tortured, but they are, right now there is I don't know how you say it, it's revival over there. Muslims are coming to Christian by the hordes because of these people that are standing in their faith. They're being tested, and they're coming through strong. And everyone has seen that this is actually working. And, you know, in America, we don't have this this testing where we actually are forced to know. It's kind of a detriment in a way for us because, you know, there are tests that we have, but when Christians over there, they're kind of like they know before they become a Christian that they have to make that choice, that they have to have that faith in Christ before they, and they have to have complete faith in Him that He will see them through. And you know, I have to wonder, like in our in America, are we at a strong place where if ISIS comes over, let's just say ISIS comes over and starts torturing us, executing us, where's our faith going to be in? Are we just going to stand firm and say that we're just not going to give an inch? We're going to die for Christ. I mean, it's really cool for us to say that, oh, we'll cross that bridge when it comes. You know, it'll when it happens. I know that I can spread the gospel if I'm going to be executed for it. Well, I don't really think that that's true. I think that testing that we need to be testing ourselves every day. I know that there are things in America that are things that we are being tortured for right now. You think of issues right now that the Christians are trying to stand on today that isn't working out very well because of hypocrisy in the church. You think of abortion. The big one is like homosexuality. People are so against homosexuality, but then in the same time, they have contradicted themselves by saying that it's okay to be divorced and remarried. And so I just wanted to give some practical applications for today would be abortion. You know, making a loud stand for that, you're going to... We need to fight this fight here in America. Of the places that on the forefront would be taking care of the innocent, and that would be the ones that aren't born yet. Homosexuality. There was a story of a woman in a hair salon, and while she was in there. A young girl came in with her mom and some friends, and she was getting her hair cut to look like a man, and everyone was so supportive of her, and the mom was trying to be supportive, but they could tell that she was just not really sure what was going on. But it's just a thing. You do not talk about that. Well, the time is for us to talk about that. We need to have faith in God that this is what we know that His will is that people are not homosexuals. We know that's His will. We need to have faith in Him that this is that, and rebuke. It's our job to condemn, to show the world that stuff is not, that it is sin. Another thing would be apostasy in the church. You know, you think of all the people in the church that are being deceived. You have to think of the emergent church. They're saying that Scripture is no longer relevant today because of the day and age. You know, back then people were a little bit more ignorant, you know, stuff like that. They just try to go and worm their way through it and try to make so the Word of God is irrelevant. That needs to be silenced. You think of today, I know that there are good bloggers, but lots of people anymore, instead of following the Bible, they're following bloggers, and their only requirement is that they're a good writer. They're really good at writing, and they can sway people's minds that way. I had to think of it. There's a famous guy. He's a conservative. I don't know how Christian he is. I'm not going to be God's his judge, but his name's Matt Walsh, and he's very, very conservative-minded, but man, I think that Brian's going to have the talk on love. He needs to be here for that, coming across in that way. You know, you think about it. But no, I just the thing that I have to think of for us today is we need to make these stands. We need to make sure that our faith is in Jesus Christ, and that these other convictions and stuff like that are important. But we first need to know that Jesus Christ is our rock, is our salvation, and these other things, they come with it. But you have to be built on that rock before, if you're going to be able to stand and you're in for your faith to hold up. Because if you try to put Christ in that after you have doctrine and stuff like that, it doesn't work. You need to have that rock. Oswald Chambers once wrote in a book, is like, faith must be tested because it can only become personal conviction through conflict. And that's so true in my own life. I know that, lots of people can base their Christianity off of they're doing so well, they feel good. Well, the sad thing is, if you feel like you're doing so well, you don't feel like the devil's attacking you, then you're not doing so well, because this is a battle, and we should be being tested every day. And I was thinking about this up here. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me on my throne. You could also do it. To him that is faithful, will I grant to sit with me on my throne. It's all action. And that is all I have.